Harvest this morning, if you're new. My name is Bob Hill, and I usually go by Bobby. At least everybody calls me Bobby, since my father's name is Bob. I never got out of that. I'm almost 50. In a few months, I'll be 50, and I have a grandson that's 3, but I'm still Bobby. But if you call me Bobby, that's just fine. I'm okay with that. And I'm not new to Harvest completely. I've been here for the last year or so, came to help with the teaching ministry, but I also attended Harvest back in the mid-90s and worked with the youth back then. So it's good to be back, and I'm excited very much this morning to be able to share with you some things about the Bible, specifically in Galatians. And I just want to say, first of all, that I believe completely, deep down in my heart, I believe that anybody, absolutely anybody, can be saved. And I also believe that you're saved by faith alone, no works involved. No works whatsoever. Faith alone. So anybody can be saved by faith alone. I believe that. How about you? Do you believe that? But it wasn't always that way. If we look at the Bible all the way back to Genesis and Exodus, we find that there was a circumcision gospel that God made a deal with Abraham, and you had to be a Jew, which was Abraham was the father of the Jews, and you had to be circumcised, and you had to be a Jew to be saved. So nationality was involved way back then. Also, not long after that, the law through Moses came, and you had to follow the law in order to be saved for salvation. So our belief today is not the way it always was. In fact, this was this way, where it was the law and circumcision, and you had to be a Jew, all the way up till Paul was saved on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And that took place just a few years, within a few years anyway, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God commissioned Paul specifically to tell the world, including the apostles and the Gentiles and the Jews, to tell everybody, but particularly the Gentiles, he wanted Paul to tell, that anybody could now be saved, not just the Jews, and that salvation would now be not of works, that the law would be done away with, and salvation would be by faith alone, without works. So God had commissioned Paul on the road to Damascus to take that message to the world, and he did. However, many of the Jews that came to believe in Jesus Christ at the time soon after Christ died, there were Jews that believed, but they still, many of them, still felt that the law was necessary even for the Gentiles. You see, the Jews, I mean, they had had this law for 1,600 years. Moses was on a high, high pedestal, and I put Moses on a high pedestal. So with Moses on such a high pedestal, and having been given the law for 1,600 years living that way, it wasn't easy for them to suddenly say, oh, okay, we'll do away with the law. So Paul had a very, very difficult task ahead of him to take this commission given by God to the Jews and to the world, saying that the law has now been done away with and it's faith alone apart from the law. That was a tough pill for them to swallow. And there were many different groups shortly after Christ's resurrection that had different beliefs. And there was one group in particular that I want to talk about today called the Judaizers. Now, the Judaizers, which stands for Judaism, they believed in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. They did. However, they also felt or believed that the law was also necessary. So they kind of mixed the two. So they believed, okay, so what you have to do is you have to believe in Jesus Christ and then follow the law, including circumcision, including all of the other things in the law. But they particularly pointed at circumcision because all the way back since Abraham, circumcision is what separated the Jews from the Gentiles. So they really focused on, we want these new believing Gentiles to be circumcised in order for us to consider them saved. Now, our best understanding as to the opposition between Paul taking this message of salvation without works, and you can be a Gentile that's not circumcised, to the world, is illustrated best as he deals with these Judaizers in the letter to the churches in Galatia. In the Bible, that's just called the book of Galatians. But the letter is actually Paul's argument. And the argument is being sent to these churches in Galatia because Paul, on his first missionary trip, went through Galatia and he had many Gentile converts. But the Judaizers didn't sit still. They said, okay, Paul, he's not right. And by the way, you know, Paul was given this commission directly by Jesus Christ, but unlike the other apostles, he wasn't alive during Christ's life. So it was more difficult to believe Paul knew what he was talking about or was directly commissioned by Jesus Christ, because on the road to Damascus was after Christ had died. But it tells us in Acts that indeed Paul was talked to directly by Jesus Christ and he was given the message by God, this is what I want you to do. So Paul understood he had this message to take to the world, but these Judaizers didn't get it. They thought, no, it's wrong. So they followed Paul as he's ministering throughout the churches in, well, they weren't churches. He set up the churches in Galatia. These Judaizers come in behind him as Paul leaves and subvert the believers that believed in Christ with a not of works salvation message. And they try to convince them, okay, you believe in Jesus Christ, great. Now do the law. Now be circumcised. That's how you really are saved. And if you want to be perfect in Christ, you need to follow the law. So these Galatian churches had, they were confused. They had a mixed message. Do we believe Paul or do we believe the Judaizers? I mean, the Judaizers have a good argument. The law has been around for 1,600 years. We're just glad you finally included us. But Paul knew that this wasn't the case. So again, this whole book of Galatians is about Paul sending a letter back to these churches saying, this is how it really is. Let's start in Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's the credentials he's laying down. What's the credentials of the Judaizers? Nothing. Okay, we're just people that have an opinion. Paul's saying, listen to me. I'm commissioned by God. Jesus Christ commissioned me on the road to Damascus to take this message, faith without works, to the world. Listen to me, not them. So again, it says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Then he goes on into Galatians 1:6 and tells them, these Galatians, that he knew, by the way, he's the one that led them to the Lord. These were his friends, these were his converts. But he knows that they've been listening to these Judaizers because word had gotten back to Paul in his travels. So he writes this saying, I marvel. I'm amazed. I can't believe that you are turning away so soon from Him, meaning God, who called you in the grace of Christ. The grace of Christ is the grace message we talk about. It's the idea that you don't have to do works. And Paul is, I can't believe I was there with you. I taught you this message. And now you're turning away to a different gospel, which is not another. When he says not another, it means it wasn't like it was now of Baal or something. It's still about Jesus, but it's different because it includes works. That's not what I taught you guys. So he says, you're turning to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some, meaning the Judaizers, who trouble you and want to pervert or corrupt the gospel of Christ. So Paul's like, what are you doing? But even if we or an angel from heaven, so he doesn't care who it is. Paul knows this is how high Paul's credential is that even if it's an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. He's pretty confident to make a statement like that. Well, he ought to be. He was commissioned by Jesus Christ himself. So much so that he says it again, basically. As we have said before, so now I say again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Paul is dead serious about this gospel of no works. Dead serious. He will not allow it to just be corrupted, because God has commissioned for him to take this message to the world. And when you know God is calling you to do something, you get serious about it. And Paul was serious. I am not going to let these Judaizers come in and convince people that you got to do a bunch of works. That's not the gospel. So then Paul goes on to reiterate why they should listen to him instead of the Judaizers. In the 11th verse, he says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. I'm not just coming to you with my own little philosophy of life. If I was, I wouldn't be asking you to listen to me." Again, this is a commission from God. It's not according to man. "For I neither received it from man, nor was I even taught it. But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." It doesn't get any stronger, your commission, than that. And that is why Paul was not backing down. He was taking his message full force to the Galatian churches who were being subverted by these Judaizers. You might be wondering, but why is it so important to keep works out of it? What's the big deal? Why not just compromise? Be a little tolerant. That's our word today, isn't it? Be tolerant. Just, what's the big deal? Add a little works. As long as you believe in Christ, what else really matters, right? Well, Paul obviously didn't see it that way, did he? In Galatians 2:20, he explains a little bit why he's not okay with that. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." So what he's saying here is, I am living by faith in the Son of God, not according to works. That is how I'm living. And that is the message. I've been crucified with Christ. When we believe in Christ, we are baptized into his crucifixion, which means we're identified. We die with him. I have been crucified. I became a believer. I then partook of that crucifixion. So Paul is saying, I've been crucified with Christ, which means that my righteous duty is done. I've been crucified, which then means I will partake of his resurrection. There is no more righteousness to be had. Christ fulfilled the entire need for the law when he died on the cross. And so it's done. And when I believed in Christ, I became crucified too. So Paul understood this. The Judaizers and the Galatian churches, they did not. So Paul is giving these arguments, explaining to them why it's not okay to partake of this idea that you believe in Christ and then do works as though this whole thing didn't happen. In fact, he goes on to say, who loved me and gave himself for me, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. That is Paul's argument. See, if Christ didn't have to die because I could do the works of the law and get saved, then he died in vain. Just do the works of the law to be saved. But it doesn't work that way. We can't do the works of the law to salvation. We're not good enough. And so to supplement Christ's complete work on the cross is to say that it's not needed. I don't need that. I'll do the works. And Paul is saying, no, when you try to add to God's completeness of his crucifixion, you're actually taking something from him. You're actually saying, it is not enough. I'm going to add to what Christ did on the cross. That's why it bothered Paul so much, because he knew you can't add to what Christ did on the cross for your righteousness. It's complete. And when you try to add, it's awful. God hates it. He doesn't want us to add. And Paul knew you don't add to perfection. You don't add your little bit. Paul refused to replace any part of Christ's sacrifice with his own effort for righteousness. Then Paul goes on to address the Galatian, their works in their daily life. In the third chapter, again, he's friends with these people, but he's kind of upset with them. As you can see, he's like, oh, foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? Which means to have evil influence. Who's done this evil influence over you? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Which means that Paul had explained Christ's crucifixion to them and the importance of it. And he doesn't understand why they wouldn't obey that truth. You're foolish to not obey that. And then he begins an argument here where it's like rhetorical questions that he knows the answer to, but he's asking them to make the Galatians think about what they're doing. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, Paul was there. He's the one that converted them, so he knows the answer. He was there. He converted them to the Lord through faith. So he's asking that because he wants them to say, okay, through faith, I get it. Yes, you're right. We came to God through faith in Jesus Christ. So then he says, okay, then having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Now this is for, these are already saved people. So this is like our Christian life now. These people in Galatia, these churches, Paul had already gone there. They had already trusted in Jesus Christ. They're already saved. And he's saying, are you now going to be perfected by the law? Because he already knows the Galatian churches might be thinking, okay, well, we'll just do this. We'll just do this to make it a little better. You know, God really likes it when we believe, and we'll make it a little better by following the law. You know, the best of both worlds, right? And that's why Paul is saying, no, if you started in the Spirit, you're going to be perfected in the flesh. The flesh is us. It's all, that's about me. That's my works. It was all about Christ and what He did. And now it's going to be perfected by what we do? He's saying, no, that doesn't even make sense. So he's appealing to their logic. Think about it, Galatians. If you came to God in the Spirit, because when we believe in Jesus Christ, it's this, we get the Spirit in our life, you're going to now be perfected by your own flesh? The Bible tells us in this flesh dwells no good thing. You're not going to be perfected by the flesh. So don't think otherwise. Paul goes on in Galatians 3:5 and explains about the Spirit. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles. This word for miracle in the Greek is dunamis, which means power. And it can be a miracle. It can also be the power of the Spirit in your life today as we walk. It can mean a miracle as well. It can mean lots of things. So think of it very generally. The power of the Spirit in our lives. Therefore, who supplies the Spirit to you and works power and miracles in your life among you, does he do it by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? Again, a rhetorical question. The answer is the hearing of the faith. And he knows that the Galatian churches will get that because he set them up. You learned about Christ in the Spirit from faith. You will not be perfected by the Spirit, by the flesh. You will be perfected through faith by the Spirit. Next, Paul explains what's kind of, it was probably an obvious question, and maybe you have it yourself. And that question that he considered they might be thinking is, well, what about the law? If it isn't necessary, then why did they even have it in the first place? If you're going to do away with it, why did we even have it? So he already kind of understood that probably was going to be a question. So he answered that question in Galatians 3, verse 24. He says, therefore the law was a tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. You see, it was always about Christ, even throughout the Old Testament. The law was a tutor. Now, what did he mean by a tutor? How is the law a tutor to bring them to Christ, the Messiah? Well, one thing that we all learn is that when we are given rules of righteousness, holy rules, what happens? We all quickly figure out that we fail. without the law, we might not realize that we couldn't be righteous. We might actually think, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a righteous guy. But when you have the law and you try to do it, you quickly learn, I'm not that good. I can't do the law. I tried for a while, and then I quickly failed. So the law was given so that the Jews would understand their need for a Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. They needed somebody that could actually fulfill the whole law for them. And that law helped them to see their need for a Savior. So in actuality, even though the law existed for 1,600 years before Christ, it was always with the intention that Christ would come, live a sinless life, thereby fulfilling the whole law. And then we get to believe and therefore be baptized and be part of Christ's fulfilling the law. He gives us that credit. And we then are perfected in the law just as He is, because it's His gift to us. We just have to receive it. It's part of our salvation message. We believe in that. And that's what you get. You get the fact that Christ lived a sinless, perfect life, completely fulfilling the whole Old Testament law. Which is why it's silly for us to think then we're going to go do some little works of the law to add to that. If anything, we're going to take away from it, right? Don't add to perfection. Leave it alone. And that's what Paul wanted them to do. Not just gently, he really wanted them to leave it alone. So what does that look like? In Galatians 5:16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do we walk in the Spirit? It said earlier that we do it by the believing of faith. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, He unleashes the Spirit in our life, and that's how we are able to avoid the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, through the Spirit, not by us trying to be good, but by the Spirit living out in our life. The Spirit can do things we cannot. We can't do it. And what does that look like? We see in the 22nd verse what it looks like when the Spirit is working out in our life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. See, when you're living according to the Spirit, the law is irrelevant. There is no law when you're living by the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is coming out in your life. You're living out the perfection of Christ. When the fruit of the Spirit is in your life, that's Christ coming through. Christ needs not the law. He fulfilled it. And that's what we want in our life. We want the Spirit creating fruit in our life. Not works. Not great ideas. Not willpower. Not our power. Not self-discipline. Not reading lots of books. All those things are good, but that is not the Spirit in your life, which is what God ultimately wants. He wants the Spirit in our life to come out. He wants Christ, the fruit of Christ in our lives. I had a big turning point in my life when I was struggling with certain sins and I was feeling guilt and shame. And I had been a Christian since I was a little kid. And yet I was going through this time, and it was rough. And at times I felt like I needed to have time out from God, because I was feeling shame for my life. And it was really frustrating because I wanted to be a good Christian. I wanted to be a good father. I wanted to be a good husband. I wanted to be a good guy. I wanted to be lots of things. And yet I felt that I just couldn't move past it. And I was trying so hard to discipline myself and to be spiritual. And it wasn't working. And so one day I was contemplating this problem. And it just dawned on me. I thought, you know, what am I doing? The Christian life is not about me becoming anything. Not about Bobby being a good husband. That's not what the Christian life says it's about. Or me being spiritual. Or me being... It's about Jesus. I realize, you know, at the end of the day, I'm seeking a self-righteousness. I'm trying to be righteous by trying to stop sin, which certainly seems good. I'm not saying we should sin, not at all. But by making the focus thinking like, I'll be a good guy, I'll be a good father, whatever it was I was thinking, many different things, I was trying to develop my own righteousness, somehow connected to God. I wanted to be a good Christian, so I wasn't in there. And I think most of you probably do too. You're here. But in the process of trying to be a good Christian, are you doing that in your power? I want to be this thing. And thereby taking on the load of self-righteousness instead of righteousness in just loving God, in just believing and being part of His righteousness. Just saying, I just totally believe and am part of you, and allowing then the Spirit to work out in my life. And if the Spirit's working out in my life, is that me? That's not me, that's the Spirit, that's God, that's the fruit of the Spirit. I was over here trying to produce Bobby fruit. Bobby fruit's not very good. I want Christ fruit. I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life. So this just really occurred to me one day. And so I went about a plan. I don't necessarily advise this plan exactly, but this is what happened. I decided that the next time I'm in sin, that instead of just trying to discipline myself not to sin, I am going to take a different tact, and instead of trying to focus on my sin and stopping the sin, I'm just going to look to God. I'm going to look Him directly in the eye and for a minute ignore the whole sin issue and just say, God, I trust You right now, right in the middle of my sin. Because normally, what am I doing if I'm in the middle of sin and it's me and God? You know, I'm feeling guilty. I'm needing time out from God or feeling like He'll accept me in a few days. I decided, no, I am going to look You directly. And I can't even tell you how amazing that was, to look directly and just feel like, God, I trust that You love me right now. Even if I don't stop sinning. I mean, you love me right now. You see, it used to be that I felt like I was way over here in my sin, and that I would have to fix myself a little bit to get up to the point where then I could have a relationship with God. And I kind of thought His grace started right here. You know, it's kind of like the idea of getting good enough to go to church. That's dumb thinking, isn't it? I'm going to get good enough to go to church. No. God is saying, no, I accept you, Bobby. And all of you, I accept you way back here. No matter how far back you go, that's where it's the blood of Jesus Christ was so great that He says, I cover all sins and you can do nothing to advance up to any level. In fact, I don't like it. Paul wrote this whole message that I don't like it when you think that you can be righteous. There's no righteousness in us. It's all in Jesus Christ. And that was a turning point in my life to give up the fight of being self-righteous and believe that it's God's righteousness alone. It's not our power. Again, it's not positive thinking. It's not self-discipline. It's trusting in Jesus Christ. Putting your complete and total trust in Jesus without any supplements releases the Spirit in our life. So I challenge you today to let go of the fight to be good and let God release His Spirit in you.